Okay, and welcome back. Damien Dumar is back with us this hour. He is the publisher of The Last Harvest. And what a great title. What a portentous title. What an appropriate title for what's going on now. It's truly The Last Harvest, no doubt. Hello, Damien. Welcome back.
Hello, Jeff. Thank you for having me back.
Always a pleasure. We always learn things, and we're going to talk about a number of things tonight. Let me go back to Eric Clapton, a great guitarist who I was able to see at his absolute peak, and he was just something. He said, "Israel is controlling the world." Now, I think he was being as brave and as forthright with the truth as he could. It's worse than that, but at least it's a start, and he's a big name. Of course, the story was, it came and went in about 1.8 seconds. It was gone. So here's what's up, and if you look at guests, let me pull it up now, make sure everything is functioning appropriately. And guests. Okay, tonight's guests, I want you to click on that and look for Damien. There he is. And below his name, Israel, the capital of D.C. You'll see it. It's a link. And click on that, and you'll bring up the article that is now in Damien Dumar's columnist section, and it has to do with the control of Washington. Now, this goes way back. You have to understand that Washington, D.C. wasn't built 20 years ago. It was built long ago when the town roads were laid out. You'll see the map. It's a perfect Star of David. And the title above this, or the comment above it, is simply, is Zionism the capital of Washington, D.C.? The answer is absolutely yes. It's the Zionist elephant hidden in the street map of D.C. Take it away, Damien. This is embarrassing how obvious it is. Jeez.
Well, Jeff, before I begin, let me state that Israel incidentally stands for Isis and Ra ruled by El. And El is another name for Saturn or Satan, a.k.a. the false god and demiurge. So if you check out the image... Yeah, if you check out the images you suggested that's attached to the article, you'll see that is an image of the street construction map of Washington, D.C., where one can clearly see that the Zionist and so-called Star of David is embedded into the actual street layout. But you'll notice at how the bottom of the Star of David or Star of Saturn points directly to the U.S. Congressional building, pretty much making it the Zionist Israeli House of Congress. Now, as you said, and when you opened the show, things have been going on for a long time. In as early as 1791, President George Washington, in preparation for the move of the national capital from Philadelphia, actually appointed Pierre Charles L'Enfant to devise a plan for the new city that was intended for the permanent seat of the government of the United States.
So what year was that again, please, Damien? 1790?
1791.
One, okay.
And so it would seem that the city planners believed that Israel was to be the real capital and the Illuminati-inspired power behind the U.S. House and Senate Congressional Building already 157 years before Israel was gifted a land without title. Given that these designs go as far back as 1791, what this also means is that the two world wars were engineered long ago with the Zionist Rothschild state on the drawing board as the end result to set the stage for the Third World War and along with it, the Battle of Armageddon as outlined in the Book of Revelation. So people then would say, well, would the Illuminati murder millions worldwide? Of course they would and did and will continue to do so because there must be three world wars to depopulate the planet by 90% as their stated goal on the Georgia Guidestone states, and also because Satan does everything in threes, which is why the notion of a trinity appears in all the satanic-inspired religions on this planet, given that Saturn, or Satan, created all the religions on the planet to keep people away from the perfect creator, who requires no religious affiliation in order to maintain a relationship with him. So it really should be no surprise that Christians ignorantly don't see that the so-called synagogue of Satan is not their ally. I mean, Christians can be Zionists too, because Zionism ultimately has nothing to do with Jewish people.
Well said. So, and I hope all of you look at this grid layout of Washington, D.C. It's obscenely in your face. It's right there. There's no arguing that. It's inarguable. You can't. And boy, go ahead.
The takeaway here is that even before the Rothschild created Zionist State of Israel was a twinkle in the eye of the one world fascist order, the fix was already in to found Israeli Zionism, supported by the House of Congress and the U.S. Senate. So again, right. There's no need to wonder why the USA is such a supporter of Israel, because it's where Netanyahu, otherwise known as Bibi the Mad Bomber, feels right at home. And of course, he supports Donald Trump in 2024, as Trump declared he's the best friend Israel has. Not that Biden is any different when it comes to backing Israel. Full stop, as he's fond of saying, because a lot of people say I focus a lot on Trump and I ignore Biden, and that's not true. But if you think that Biden's Christian Zionism is bad, as I've said on earlier episodes of this program, wait until Trump ushers in the Neo-Nazi Heritage Foundation's Project 2025, marching in goose-step fashion to overthrow democracy. And, I mean, they're spending billions upon billions in bombs and armaments for Israel. And when I say billions upon billions, this is not hyperbole, because the House's version of the National Defense Authorization Act, which passed by a vote of 217 to 199 just the other day, actually would authorize almost $900 billion in military spending. The exact number was $895 billion. So that is almost $1 trillion, mostly earmarked for Israel, while this country heads for financial ruin at the hands of the international bankers.
We're bankrolling. Oh, and Netanyahu the other day said, how dare the United States pause their military aid to us? It's right in our face. We're underwriting and paying for two Jewish state wars. One in Ukraine, that is a Jewish regime running the whole country, fighting Russia, and the other Israel fighting Gaza. And don't forget the West Bank people. They're getting terribly abused as well. Not as bad. And when you see again the statistics of 35,000 officially dead in Gaza, I would say I tell you this straight, it's over 200,000 at this point. If it's not, I'd be shocked. It's huge. You can't destroy nearly 80% of all the buildings, many of which were multi-story, in a small enclave like Gaza, with 1.2 million people living in it, without killing. Those buildings were occupied. There's so many people buried in the rubble now, they don't even know how many. Go ahead.
Well, Jeff, you know, we're headed towards a fourth Reich of the rich, except this time it's going to be a Zionist Reich. Trump is actually on record saying he wants a, quote, a unified Reich, end quote. So maybe
he
Trump
said that.
Having,
he did yes, say that.
And then he recanted it, but he said it. It's on record. They have it recorded. So I think maybe he was having a past life flashback as Hitler, when he went to jail for an insurrection before grasping power and destroying the German Republic and starting World War II, except this time it will be World War III, because as I said earlier, that Saturn or Satan feels the third time's the charm. So I think if you wonder why the U.S. is backing a fascist Zionist criminal who fears arrest and incarceration, much like Donald Trump does, you don't have to wonder any longer. And I believe that if Trump wrestles his way with the help of billionaire Christian fascists back into power, he'll never leave for fear of a life behind bars, he was convicted recently.
I think he's going to be sentenced to multiple year sentences. He's got three trials ahead of him. They're going to hit him with one before the election. They'll probably give him 20 years to life or something. He may end up serving from prison. They love melodrama, these people. They've all got it. It's all scripted out, in my view. At any rate, he may end up in prison and be elected president. And the Secret Service, as I mentioned multiple times, has already been training to give him protection in prison. In prison. Should he be serving from that venue?
Well, Jeff, in prison or not, we can be assured of one thing, and that's he'll obediently follow the dictates of his Illuminati handlers to pour troops and bombs and all else that's required to make a bonfire of the Mideast that Biden has begun. And that's why whatever Israel or the Illuminati wants, they get. After all, they put the presidents in the White House and own both sides of the political jokes that Americans call Republicans and Democrats. It really isn't hard to find the ruling class of America taking trips to Israel and running around wearing yarmulkes when they aren't even Jewish. It's in everyone's face. It's somehow Americans don't see anything wrong with these pictures. It's like being in a marriage where your wife spends all her time with another man, and you give that man all your money, and you're left wondering why your house is in disarray. The American Indians should have been as lucky as the Israelis, as all the American Indians got were beads and eventually casinos. And they actually had a bona fide claim on their land. The Israelis didn't.
Good point. Yeah, good point indeed. I think you're right. Trump is going to do precisely what he's told. This is not new. It's been this way for a long time, ever since Kennedy and RFK were killed. That was the end. And I think it's been a one-pony show ever since. This idea that we have a choice here in this country, that the political parties actually do make a real difference, is laughable at this point. It's all diversion. It's sideshow stuff. It's like a scripted soap opera, all of it. And they're playing it out.
Yeah, Jeff, when you talk about scripting, that's also the thing with Israel and Hamas. Are they actually frenemies or friends who pose as enemies? I mean, nobody in their right mind would release the mastermind of Hamas plus 1,000 others in exchange for what, a single Israeli soldier? They wouldn't do that unless there was some much deeper and darker motivation. Because Netanyahu doesn't care about the Jews. He only cares about his political future. And to him, the hostages are expendable gambits meant to make the citizens of Israel hungry for war so he can remain in power indefinitely. It's not a Jewish struggle. It's a Zionist struggle in which the citizens are simply pawns in the Battle of Armageddon, much as will be all the U.S. soldiers who are already slated to die for Israel. And if your listeners think that I'm Chicken Little running around saying the sky is falling, realize that the House passed a large defense bill on Friday evening that included a provision that would automatically enroll young men between the ages of 18 and 26 for the Selective Service. And Representative Chrissy Houlihan, who's a Democrat from Pennsylvania, said on the House floor, quote, "This will also allow us to rededicate resources towards readiness and towards mobilization rather than towards education and advertising campaigns driven to register people." So the key word here is mobilization. And if we look at the dictionary.com definition of the word, it says mobilization, the action of a country or its government preparing and organizing troops for active service. So when you see Snopes.com saying the intent of this bill is just to make Selective Service more efficient, Representative Houlihan herself is saying the intent of this bill is to prepare for war. And not many people seem to grasp that, or maybe some will say, oh, it passed in the House, but it won't pass in the Senate. Are you sure about that? I certainly not.
I agree.
And
well said. Go ahead.
You know, You know, Jeff, the consequences of this bill are far more grievous than just the removal of young men's choice to engage in civil disobedience. The consequences include the death and mutilation of potentially millions of young American males order to further a Zionist and ultimately satanic goal. And Christians and Americans still think that Israel is our ally? But, you know, it gets even better. Houlihan, who is an Air Force veteran herself, also spearheaded a House bill in 2021 to require women to register with the Selective Service, which effectively doubles the drafting pool. So you can ask yourself, why would they want to double the draft pool and lock down everyone ages 18 to 26? There's only one answer. It's because World War III is imminent, and they need to feed the war machine as many bodies as possible to attain the goal that they inscribed upon the Georgia Guidestones. And when we speak about frenemies and world wars, Jeff, Wall Street and the banking elite backed and helped build both Russia and Nazi Germany in World War II, then set them upon one another. Why? Well, money, of course, because the central international bankers, like the Federal Reserve, are known by your audience to be private monopolies whose political allegiance is to the Illuminati billionaires who loan money to the respective governments without having anything to back the face value of the loan, and who are really only in the business of creating wars for profit, rigging the stock market to go boom and bust, and creating massive profits for arms manufacturers and coffin makers, which all require massive amounts of debt. And the kicker is that this debt is repaid with your blood and your ever-rising taxes and inflation. Everyone these days is complaining about inflation. Everyone feels the effects of it. But how many people actually know the source of inflation? And you don't hear either political party railing against this criminal business monopoly that the international bankers have, because both political parties are funded by them through foundations and political action committees that are controlled by Jewish and Christian Zionists seeking to destroy democracy.
Yep, absolutely right. I don't know what the time frame is on this, but I am told, and I do see no way out of a nuclear exchange in Europe. NATO is calling for more nuclear weapons to be built immediately. They're formally unlocking their nuclear arsenal and getting it ready to achieve stage one combat, readiness, that's the potential word. And they're not going to back down here. They're being told and instructed. This is being driven to an atomic nuclear conflagration. There's no other way to look at it. Can you see it any other way? I've been watching this for over 2.5 years now. I don't see any other way to interpret it.
Well, we know that Israeli intelligence admittedly knew of the planned Hamas attacks for more than a year in advance and did nothing, much like the U.S. knew about Pearl Harbor in advance and just used it as a pretext to enter into World War II. So we also know that unless Netanyahu escalates World War III, he faces, as does Donald Trump, extended prison time for corruption. So I really don't think that it can plan out any other way than what you've just suggested either. Netanyahu has spoken in biblical terms, quoting in the Old Testament where God commands King Saul in the first book of Samuel to kill every person in Amalek, or a rival nation to ancient Israel. And Netanyahu does part of this killing, of course, by cutting off food supplies, as you mentioned earlier, water, electricity, and drone bombing anything that moves, including clearly marked emergency food trucks.
All paid for by American tax dollars. All of it. Did you see the story published by Global Research, a very reputable site, about allegedly Netanyahu's psychiatrist committing suicide? Did you see that one?
Wow, I think that must be sheer coincidence.
Yeah, of course. I've got to find this.
And Epstein hung himself at the exact moment when the cameras were broken. Sure, it happens all the time.
He allegedly shot himself. Let me find this. I did check It is on Global Research. I do know Michel Chasudovsky. He was on the program many times. They don't get duped. So we'll see. Hold on a second. Let me find this here. We'll just enter suicide. And there it is. Okay. Here's the story from... okay. I'll send it to you if you haven't seen it. Psychiatrist of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu commits suicide. Now, this is written by somebody named Michael K. Smith. I looked up in their search authors function. He's got a page for Global Research, and that story is under his name. Global Research doesn't get tricked. Doesn't happen, not that I've seen. Anguished suicide note cites, quote, a deluge of doublethink, end quote, in driving a kind-hearted shrink to despair. Now, all Global Research articles can be read in 51 languages by activating the Translate website, blah, blah, blah. Moshe, Y-A-T-O-M. Now, that's Atom with a Y. That's interesting. Moshe Yatom, a prominent Israeli psychiatrist who successfully cured the most extreme forms of mental illness throughout a distinguished career, was found dead at his home in Tel Aviv yesterday from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. A suicide note at his site explained that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who has been his patient for the last 9 years, had, quote, sucked the life right out of me, end quote. I can't take it anymore, end quote. Robbery is redemption. Apartheid is freedom. Peace activists are terrorists. Murder is self-defense. Piracy is legality. Palestinians are Jordanians. Annexation is liberation. There's no end to his contradictions. Freud promised rationality would reign in the institutional and instinctual passions. But he never met Bibi Netanyahu. This is a shrink talking. This guy would say Gandhi invented brass knuckles. And it goes on from there. And if this is true, and I can't prove it, but I do know that Global Research wouldn't, they would have taken it down immediately. So take it for what it's worth. Look up, you can do a word search on the homepage at Rents for suicide. You'll find the story there. I'll send you the story as well. So hold on a second. We've got to take a break. Come right back with Damien after this. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Damien Dumas about the obvious control of these formerly United States of America by the nation state, the illegal nation state of Israel, and international Zionism. And it's 45 to 55, I don't even know how many million Christian Zionists. Talk about a misled, duped, and deceived group. Man, there it is. So, yes, big deal. I sent you that story. If the story turns out to be a hoax or a fraud, we'll certainly take it right down. At this point, I trust Global Research, and I'm waiting to see. It says it was dated June 7th, so we'll see. All right, there you go.
Well, next. Jeff, you know, the God of the Old Testament, a.k.a. Saturnus or Satan, it's a fact that he loves genocide. The one perfect God, the Divine Father, does not love genocide. After all, he commanded, thou shalt not kill, and expressly banned human sacrifice. So a lot of these Christians, they never ask themselves, well, why then would he sacrifice his own son by nailing him to a cross? It sounds more like Kronos from Greek mythology, who was known to have murdered his own sons, except Cronos is another name for Saturnus or Satan, and is no myth, but the creator of the Matrix being maintained by the signals emanating from the rings of the planet Saturn. So there is the big lie of the stolen election, and then there is the big lie of salvation via an external savior. So listeners of this show will remember that in the last show, I talked about Samuel Alito flying the Appeal to Heaven flag with a Christmas tree on it, otherwise known as a pine tree. So the flag is a pagan symbol that the Bible itself forbids in both image and form. So if you're asking me if I'm saying that the Christmas tree is itself a satanic symbol that's forbidden, I would say in the Bible, in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 2 to 4, where the Jews were instructed to get rid of pagan places of worship upon mountains, upon hills, and, quote, under every green tree, end quote. So, well, what do Christians do? They give presents to each other under the same green tree at Xmas, in imitation of the festival of Saturnalia, borrowed from ancient Rome. As I said also in earlier shows, X is also a symbol of Saturn, and why Elon Musk chose it for the former Twitter company that he bought out to serve the global satanic elites. And X is also prominently placed through the Chiro cross in the Roman Catholic Church for this reason. But listeners may say, yes, but why is the symbol satanic? And the answer is that it worships Attis, who was another false savior who was said to have mutilated and killed himself under a pine tree. And after his death, Attis is said to have been changed into a pine tree. So the pine tree became part of pagan worship practices. And if any of your listeners would like more information on this, they can refer to a book called The Golden Bow, which was published in 1922 and authored by Sir James George Frazer. But now, this is where it gets even more interesting. Much like the street design of Washington, D.C. can be traced back to George Washington in 1791, so too can the pine tree flag be traced back to him a few years prior. And in a letter that was dated October 20th, 1775, General Washington's secretary, Colonel Joseph Reed, suggested a, quote, flag with a white ground and a tree in the middle, the motto, an appeal to heaven, end quote, be used for the ships that Washington commissioned. So the six schooners commissioned by Congress beginning in October of 1775 to intercept British ships entering Boston, specifically the USS Hancock, Lee, Franklin, Harrison, Lynch, and Warren, all flew the pine tree flag. And this, again, is more evidence that George Washington and the other Freemason satanic urban planners were carrying out some very long-term plans. The street layout of Washington, D.C. is neither a coincidence nor God's way of saying we need to support Zionist Israel no matter what and kill every Muslim or Palestinian or non-Christian, non-Zionist we can. Unless, of course, you are one of the Christians who ignorantly is referring to the false god, the Demiurge, a.k.a. Satan.
Well said.
I know, it's people very quiet when they hear that. They're
it's
not
true.
Sure what to say when they hear that, but they need to know, and it can all be looked up. It's just information that is not volunteered to you normally by the mainstream media.
Right.
So,
right.
Again, why is the Illuminati Zionist-owned White House backing Netanyahu with nearly a trillion of your tax dollars? Well, it's because 90% of the population, as described and attested to by the elite themselves, need to be destroyed as they carved upon the Georgia genocidal guidestones that are not only on the cover of the book, The Last Harvest by Lucien Mars, but they were recently bombed by a few of their intended victims who didn't much like the idea. But either way, Jeff, World War III is imminent, and not only in the Mideast, but as you pointed out yourself, in Eastern Europe as well. As a matter of fact, Recently, right. Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić has issued a stark warning that the escalating tensions between Russia and the West could lead to all-out war within, get this, the next 3 months. And when questioned about the proximity to a third world war, the Serbian leader replied, quote, I believe we are not far from it, not more than 3-4 months, and there is a danger to happen even before that, end quote. So he actually also
Poland today, to further go along with that, Poland today, somebody over there called for landmines to be put along their entire border with Russia. I mean, they're getting ready, it looks like. I don't see anything to de-escalate here.
Well, every time I look at the latest news from that part of Europe, it's one country after another demonstrating that they are preparing for war. And I would be difficult to imagine that all of these leaders were hysterical or delusional. They all know history, more so maybe than even a lot of American leaders do, and they know what Russia is capable of. And Vučić had also criticized NATO officials who suggest that Putin is somehow bluffing about deploying nuclear weapons in Ukraine. And his exact quote was that if you bet that someone is bluffing, it means you don't have better cards. I would always be very careful when assessing Putin's will and his next move. Yeah, it is quite funny.
Yeah. You got to laugh at it. You have to. It's that pathetic. This whole thing is not going to be good. I did receive word from a source that the great killing grounds will be essentially in Europe at this point. They're going to sacrifice a lot of people. And don't forget that the international elite that run this planet, everybody who's born has a stock certificate. Oh, they call it a birth certificate, but it's a stock certificate. And when that person dies, the owner of those certificates, and they're all bought up by international power centers, gets to cash it in. A death is worth money to these people. That's one reason for wars. And think about that. It's true. You have a birth certificate. It's a stock certificate. You are owned by some financial center in the world. They buy up all the stock certificates they can. Because when the person dies, they can cash them in. Think about that. Another angle that just isn't talked about. And I've got this
exactly
from the best source I have.
Well, the question is also, well, what about Putin and the rest of the global elite? You'll see articles online that Putin is stockpiling food for years in a house somewhere in Siberia that is fit to survive a nuclear exchange. But these sort of articles and stories are just a distraction from what they don't want you to know, which is that Putin and the rest of the global elites plan to be fine in the deep underground resort bunkers with cities, labs, and nurseries for the new baby boom that's being called into action with a striking down of Roe versus Wade, with Trump's promise of freedom cities and baby bonuses. And this is just a distraction because clearly Putin won't be hanging out in a wooden house in a remote area of Siberia. And this actually brings us to a very curious commonality existing among remote viewers. And I know that you're very tight with the remote viewing community, and you've had a lot of them as guests on your show. And the one thing that we notice about them is that they never seem to look downward into the earth, or if they do, they never talk about it. And for those who do have the ability to remote view and do decide to look downward into the earth, they see the same thing that Admiral Byrd witnessed when he accidentally took a wrong turn at the South Pole decades ago. They would see an electroplasmatic artificial sun using quantum holographic technology, abundant organic crops, miniature oceans, airports, enough granaries to last till long past doomsday on the top side, And these deep underground military bases are well known, with an abundant photo gallery of pictures. They're in numerous books.
That's right.
And the question is, why don't remote viewers discuss it? And one of the reasons, obviously, is because they're not ordered to look inside the Earth. Many of them are working for the military and they're following orders. But do we really believe that none of them ever looked downward? And I believe that their silence really amounts to a confession that life within the Earth is better than being topside, and that a lot of the experimental surgical centers and hybridization facilities are just not to be discussed or disclosed. And they're probably fearful to disclose that aliens live underground within Agartha and the deep underground military bases. So rather than trusting these government-sponsored psychics, we should look a little bit beyond that and look at some of these actual photographs and other evidence from people
It's a very fair statement in the essay. I don't readily recall much, if any, interior viewing tasking being given to the viewers. There may be some, but I would agree with you also that those data, the results, would not want to be released to the general public. That would be the controller's decision. So if there have been looks inside, I haven't heard about them, and I probably would have.
Well, it's the same thing from my end of the of things, is that I've read plenty of books and accounts of remote viewers, and they always seem to be looking out into space if they're going in any direction off the planet in an extreme way. And the problem is that remote viewers are blocked technologically by alien technology from seeing into distant planets that are occupied. And if they think that they're seeing something, they're actually being rerouted into a mirage, because what they'd be practicing is essentially a form of espionage, and extraterrestrial civilizations are not going to allow humans or any other group to remote view what the goings-ons are for them if they can help it. So another thing you'll find inside the Hollow Earth is that many of the UFOs that are in bases both at the poles and under the ocean, they all display swastikas within cubicle insignias, which ultimately means their home base is Saturn, is run by Satan. So a lot of different extraterrestrial groups have mapped this out, such as the Verdants and several other ET groups. And what you won't find, of course, inside the Hollow Earth are GMOs, cancer, or other diseases that plague mankind. So when sometimes a popular topic among, let's call them futurists, they'll talk about this idea of med beds. So that's not a problem in the Hollow.
That's kind of a hot button here on the program. Med beds. No, no, we don't have any interest in that, frankly. It's another hustle.
Right, and this sort of technology, it does exist, but not for people topside on the planet, because why would they be...
You want to take it in that direction, that's fine, because the elite always have the most advanced and probably successful medical protocols, if you want to even use the term medical, to deal with any physical disorders they have. But Kissinger made it to, 100?
So, hard to believe, but he did.
Yeah, he sure did. This timetable is what everybody wants to know. How much time do we have? I don't know. Nobody knows except the elite, who are going to they're going to basically order what happens. They are already, it's already been planned out. When they say, let it rip, it's going to rip. Not a moment before, and not a moment after. So it's all being orchestrated. That's, again, and I hope it doesn't sound trite, just give it all up, it's orchestrated. No, note what's going on. Know your enemy. Understand that they control what we will be subjected to. That's their game. And everybody's worth money, dead to the international hidden economy. were all stock certificates, and they mature upon the death of the person that is tied to that stock certificate, otherwise known as the birth certificate. So there you go.
Well, I'm not sure how anyone can look at a map of Washington, D.C., see the so-called Star of David, and not realize that this is a very long-term plan that is going to come to fruition. And I can remind everyone that Lucien Mars, author of The Last Harvest, has set the date as September 20th, 2025, when things will really kick off. So we don't have long to see. And I think there are two takeaways here from what I've said tonight. And the first takeaway is that the Israel is just a Zionist puppet fascist state, which most of your audience knows. And it's a product of the Rothschild Illuminati. And Zionism goes about pretending to be a Jewish cause when it is actually a Rothschild cause. And the Rothschilds themselves are just pretending to be Jews. They're not. The second takeaway, which people will find much harder to swallow and which is directly correlated with the inability of Christians, or at least most Christians, to see that Israel is not an ally to either Christians or the United States, is that all religions are creations of the Anunnaki, as explained in The Last Harvest by Lucien Mars, and as such are creations of Satan, because another name for Satan is Anu. So this includes Christianity, and it's actually spelled out in Revelation 2:27, where it states, quote, "And he," meaning Jesus, "shall rule them with a rod of iron," end quote. And a rod of iron is not only a favorite instrument of Satan, but it's also a nod to the Iron Age of the Kali Yuga. And finally, the name of Jesus in the Bible is also Emmanuel, which means, quote, "Saturn is with us," end quote. And I think that if people take anything away from this, that may be one of the more important things to take away, because it will free them from this matrix mind spell that they're under, where they somehow think that supporting Israel is what should be done, or that they can save themselves by following some sort of savior, as opposed to looking at themselves and reaching out to the Divine Father directly and praying free from the confines of any sort of religion and taking responsibility for their own actions and understanding that free will has consequences. So I think that we talked about a lot of things tonight, but the core thread really is about waking up, because you're in a matrix and things are about to get very, very bad by 9/20/2025. People need to be ready, because they're going to be faced with choices like, should I take a chip in my body? It's not going to be, oh, should I get a vaccine or not? It's now it's going to be something even more serious, which is, should I take a chip in my body? And the answer, of course, is no, you shouldn't.
No. This is, again, lining up with, you know, the Deagle projections. He says January 1st, 2025, but he said that a long time ago, or early 2000s, 2003, something, I forget. But it's a long time ago. I'm giving him the full year of 2025. And if that works with the Deagle umbrella, then your date of September, whatever it was, is appropriate. We don't know if those numbers are strictly due to the bioweapon injection or the bioweapon virus itself. Either one are very bad for you. And it may be that there's a binary between getting the injection and then getting infected. You notice that people who get injected almost invariably get sick with the virus right away. They get COVID. Now, maybe that's the other half of a binary system. Could be. Anything's possible. So we're watching. We're in very treacherous times here, and we are running out of time. So what part of the country do you live in? I don't want a city, but just generally speaking. Northwest, Southwest?
I live in the Southeast.
Southeast, all right. And have you made plans. Are you prepped? Do you have 6 months of food put away? You don't have to tell me. I'm just throwing this out there as somebody who really understands what's coming and what have you been able to do. Most people haven't been able to do much of anything. We don't think there's more than 2% of the people. Some people say it's less than 1% who are legitimately prepped for whatever might happen, who are really prepared. So I don't have the answer. But I mean, in your circle of friends, are your people, and they should be, are they prepared? Are they doing food stocking? Are they doing water preparations to have drinking water? How serious are they taking this, your people? And my goodness, they've got the last harvest as a cue. Last harvest tells the story. So they should be preparing. Any comments on that?
Well, I think that preparing, it may be a good idea. It may not be, because in the end, stockpiling food will not protect you from a nuclear holocaust.
No, of course stockpiling. Not. Well, yes,
right?
We know that.
So
yeah.
I'm not going to discourage people for trying to take care of themselves or keep themselves safe, but it's questionable how far it would really take.
Well, I understand. Any urban areas, if there's a total exchange, is toast. However, there are going to be survivors. They will probably be remote, relatively remote. They'll have a place to go, and they'll get the hell out. There will be some who are prepared, but I'm told by one good source that it's 0.1% who are fully, adequately, truly prepared right now for anything of a catastrophic nature. That's awfully small. And that came from a good source. So I don't know. Don't know. Damien, that was really good. Thank you for sharing that. And
my
hope
pleasure.
People will go to your columnist section and read the article. It's right there at the top. But I did see that map of D.C. first time 30 years ago, long time ago. And it's good to see it again. It's very good to be brought forward. Very important. All right, my
especially
friend. Thank
now.
You. Yes, especially now. Talk soon, Damien.
Yes, thank you, Jeff.
Okay, good night. All right, gang, that's it for this evening. Thursday tomorrow already. Talk to you tomorrow night, 21 hours. Take care.